Those who are situated on the platform of Shantaras get their impetus for advancement in devotional service by smelling the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, by hearing the sound of his conch shell, by seeing a sanctified place in some mountain or hill, by observing a forest like the ones in Vrindavan, by going to a place of pilgrimage, by visiting the course of the Ganges River, by being victorious over the dictations of bodily demands, that is, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, by understanding the devastation of eternal time, and by constantly associating with devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. All these different items are favorable in elevating saintly persons situated in Shantaras to the advanced stage of devotional service. In the third canto, 15th chapter, verse 43 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement by the four saintly persons known as Chatusana, headed by Sanak Kumara. They went to visit the Lord of Vaikuntha Loka in the spiritual sky, and when they bowed down before the Lord, the aroma of the tulsi mixed with saffron entered their nostrils and immediately attracted their minds. Although these four saintly persons were always absorbed in the thought of impersonal Brahman, from association with the Lord and from smelling the tulsi leaves, the hairs on their bodies immediately stood up. This shows that even a person who is situated in Brahman realization, if he is put into association with devotees in pure devotional service, will immediately become attracted to the personal feature of the Lord. There are certain symptoms of great sages who are situated in Shantaras devotional service, and these symptoms are exhibited as follows. They concentrate their eyesight on the tip of the nose, and they behave just like an avaduta. Avaduta means a highly elevated mystic who does not care for any social, religious, or Vedic conventions. Another symptom is that such persons are very careful to step forward when giving speeches. When they speak, they join together the forefinger and thumb. This is called the Jnana Mudra position. They are not against the atheists, nor are they particularly inclined to the devotees. Such persons give stress to liberation and detachment from the materialistic way of life. They are always neutral and have no affection for nor misidentification with anything material. They are always grave, but fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These uncommon features develop in devotees who are situated in Shantaras. Regarding concentration of the eyesight on the tip of the nose, there is a statement in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by a devotee who observed this being performed by a yogi. He remarked, quote, "This great sage is concentrating his eyesight on the tip of his nose, and from this it appears that he has already realized the eternal form of the Lord within himself." Unquote. Sometimes a devotee in Shantaras yawns, stretches his limbs, instructs on devotional service, offers respectful obeisances unto the form of the Lord, offers nice prayers to the Lord, and has a desire to give direct service with his body. These are some of the common symptoms of the devotee who is situated in neutrality. One devotee, after observing the yawning of another devotee, addressed him thus, quote, "My dear mystic, I think that within your heart there is some ecstatic devotional love which is causing you to yawn." Unquote. It is sometimes found that a devotee in the Shantaras falls down on the ground, his hairs stand up on his body, and he trembles all over. In this way, different symptoms of ecstatic trance are exhibited automatically by such devotees. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that when Lord Krishna was blowing his conch shell, known as Panchajanya, many great sages who were living in the caves of the mountains immediately reacted, being awakened from their trance of meditation. They immediately saw that the hairs of their bodies were standing. Sometimes devotees in Shantaras become stunned, peaceful, jubilant, deliberate, reflective, anxious, dexterous, and argumentative. These symptoms indicate continuous ecstasy or established emotion. Once a great realized sage was lamenting that the Supreme Lord Krishna was living in Dwarka, but that he was unable to take advantage of seeing him. After thinking this, the sage immediately became stunned. He was thinking that he was simply wasting his time. In other words, the sage lamented because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present, but he still could not take advantage of this because of his meditation. When a mystic is transcendental to all kinds of mental concoctions and is situated in Brahman, his state is called trance, beyond the influence of the material conception of life. In that stage, when one hears about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, there may be shivering in the body. When a Brahman-realized devotee who has come to the stage of steady trance comes into contact with the eternal form of Krishna, his transcendental pleasure increases millions of times. One great sage once inquired from another, quote, "My dear friend, do you think that after I perfect the Eightfold Yoga performance, I shall be able to see the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" Unquote. This inquiry from the sage is an instance of inquisitiveness in a devotee situated in the neutral stage of devotional service. When Lord Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram and sister Subhadra, came to Kurukshetra in a chariot on the occasion of a solar eclipse, many mystic yogis also came. When these mystic yogis saw Lord Krishna and Balaram, they exclaimed that now that they had seen the excellent bodily effulgence of the Lord, they had almost forgotten the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization. In this connection, one of the mystics approached Krishna and said, quote, "My dear Lord, you are always full with transcendental bliss, excelling all other spiritual positions. And so, simply by seeing you from a distant place, I have come to the conclusion that there is no need of my being situated in the transcendental bliss of impersonal Brahman." Unquote. When a great mystic was once awakened from his meditative trance by hearing the vibration of Krishna's Panchajanya conch shell, the mystic became overpowered, so much so, in fact, that he began to bash his head on the ground. And with eyes full of tears of ecstatic love, he violated all the rules and regulations of his yoga performances. Thus, he at once neglected the process of Brahman realization. Bilva Mangala Thakur, in his book Krishna Karnamrita, says, quote, "Let the impersonalists be engaged in the process of transcendental realization by worshipping the impersonal Brahman. Although I was also initiated into the path of Brahman realization, I have now become misled by a naughty boy, one who is very cunning, who is very much attached to the gopis, and who has made me his maidservant. So I have now forgotten the process of Brahman realization." Unquote. Bilva Mangala Thakur was first spiritually initiated for impersonal realization of the Absolute Truth, But later on, by his association with Krishna in Vrindavan, he became an experienced devotee. The same thing happened to Shukdeva Goswami, who also reformed himself by the grace of the Lord and took to the path of devotional service, giving up the way of impersonal realization. Shukdeva Goswami and Bilva Mangal Thakur, who gave up the impersonal conception of the absolute truth to take to devotional service, are the best examples of devotees situated in the neutral state. According to some authorities, this condition cannot be accepted as one of the transcendental humors or rasas. But Srila Rupa Goswami says that even if one does not accept it as a transcendental humor, one must still accept it as the beginning position of devotional service. However, if one is not further raised to the platform of actual service to the Lord, he is not considered to be on the platform of transcendental mellow. In this connection, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna personally instructs Uddhava like this, quote, "The state of being established in my personal form is called Shantaras, and without being situated in this position, no one can advance to actual pure devotional service," unquote. In other words, no one can be situated in the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without being situated at least in Shanta Ras. And now chapter 36, Transcendental Affection or Servitude. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane mannam saranyakaranam nana shastra vicharanam kanipunam sadharma samasthapakam. The transcendental mellow of affection has been accepted by authorities like Sridhar Swami as a perfectional stage of devotion. It is just above the humor of neutrality and is a requisite for the development of the serving humor. In literature such as Nama Komudi, this state of existence is accepted as continuous affection for or attraction to Krishna. Authorities like Shukdev consider this stage of affection to be in the neutral stage, but in any case, this affection is relished by the devotees in different transcendental tastes, and therefore the general name for this state is affection or pure affection for Krishna. Devotees engaged in servitude are attached to Krishna in the affection of reverence. Some of the inhabitants of Gokul, Vrindavan as exhibited on earth, are attached to Krishna on this platform of affection in reverence. The inhabitants of Vrindavan used to say, quote, "Krishna is always manifest before us with a complexion like a blackish cloud. He holds his wonderful flute in his lotus hands. He is dressed in yellow silks and bedecked with a peacock feather on his head. When Krishna walks near Govardhan Hill with these personal features, all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, as well as the inhabitants of this earth, feel transcendental bliss and consider themselves the eternal servants of the Lord." Unquote. Sometimes the devotee becomes filled with the same awe and reverence by seeing a picture of Vishnu, who is dressed like Krishna and who has a similar complexion. The only difference is that Vishnu has four hands in which he holds the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Lord Vishnu is always decorated with many valuable jewels, such as the Chandrakanta stone and the Suryakanta stone. In the Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, there is the following statement by Daruka, one of the servants of Krishna. Quote, "Certainly Lord Vishnu is very beautiful with his necklace of Kostuba jewels, his four hands holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and his dazzlingly beautiful jewelry. He is also very beautiful in his eternal position, riding upon the shoulder of Garuda. But now the same Lord Vishnu is present as the enemy of Kamsa, and by his personal feature, I am completely forgetting the opulence of Vaikuntha." Unquote. Another devotee once said, quote, "This supreme personality of Godhead, from whose bodily pores come millions of universes, permanently rising, who is the ocean of mercy, who is the owner of inconceivable energies, who is always equipped with all perfections, who is the origin of all incarnations, who is the attraction for all liberated persons, this very supreme personality of Godhead is the supreme controller and the supremely worshipable. He is all cognizant, fully determined, and fully opulent. He is the emblem of forgiveness and the protector of surrendered souls. He is munificent, true to his promise, expert, all auspicious, powerful, and religious. He is a strict follower of the scripture. He is the friend of the devotees, and he is magnanimous, influential, grateful, reputable, respectable, full of all strength, and submissive to pure love. Surely he is the only shelter of devotees who are attracted to him by the affection of servitorship." Unquote. The devotees of the Lord in servitude are divided into four classes. Appointed servants, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are appointed to control the material modes of passion and ignorance. Devotees in servitude who are protected by the Lord. Devotees who are always associates, and devotees who are simply following in the footsteps of the Lord. Appointed servants. In a conversation between Jambavati, one of Krishna's wives, and Kalindi, her friend, Jambavati inquired, "Who is this personality circumambulating our Krishna?" Kalindi replied, "She is Ambika, the superintendent of all universal affairs." Then Jambavati inquired, "Who is this personality who is trembling at the sight of Krishna?" Kalindi replied, "He is Lord Shiva." Then Jambavati inquired, "Who is the person offering prayers?" Kalindi replied, "He is Lord Brahma." Jambavati then asked, "Who is that person who has fallen on the ground and is offering respect to Krishna?" Kalindi replied, "He is Indra, the king of heaven." Jambavati next inquired, "Who is this person who has come with the demigods and is laughing with them?" Kalindi replied, "He is my elder brother, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death." This conversation offers a description of all the demigods, including Yamaraj, who are engaged in services appointed by the Lord. They are called Adhikrita Devata, or demigods appointed to particular types of departmental service. Devotees under the protection and shelter of the Lord. One resident of Vrindavan once told Lord Krishna, quote, "My dear Krishna, O pleasure of Vrindavan, being afraid of this material existence, we have taken shelter of you, for you can completely protect us. We are well aware of your greatness. As such, we have given up our desire for liberation and have taken complete shelter under your lotus feet. Since we have heard about your ever-increasing transcendental love, we have voluntarily engaged ourselves in your transcendental service." Unquote. This statement is by a devotee who is under the protection and shelter of Lord Krishna. Upon being chastised by Krishna's constant kicking on his head, Kaliya, the black snake of the Yamuna, came to his senses and admitted, quote, "My dear Lord, I have been so offensive unto you, but still you are so kind that you have marked my head with the impression of your lotus feet." Unquote. This is also an instance of one's taking shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. In the Aparada Bhangjana, a pure devotee expresses his feelings. Quote, "My dear Lord, I am ashamed to admit before you that I have carried out the orders of my masters named lust, anger, avarice, illusion, and envy. Sometimes I have carried out their orders in a way most abominable. Yet in spite of my serving them so faithfully, they are not satisfied, nor are they kind enough to give me relief from their service. They are not even ashamed of taking service from me in that way. My dear Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, now I have come to my senses, and I am taking shelter of your lotus feet. Please engage me in your service." Unquote. This is another instance of surrendering and taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. There are many instances in the various Vedic writings of persons who were aspiring after liberation by speculative knowledge, but gave up this process in order to take complete shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. Examples of such persons are the Brahmins headed by Shonaka in the forest of Naimasharanya. These are the Brahmins to whom Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Suta Goswami, as described in the author's Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Part 1, 1st Chapter. Learned scholars accept them as devotees having complete wisdom. There is a statement in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya in which these great Brahmins and sages, headed by Shonaka Rishi, told Suta Goswami, quote, "My dear great soul, just see how wonderful it is. Although as human beings we are contaminated with so many taints of material existence, simply by our conversing with you about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are now gradually decrying our desire for liberation." Unquote. In Padyavali, a devotee says, quote, "Persons who are attached to speculative knowledge for self-realization, who have decided that the supreme truth is beyond meditation, and who have thus become situated in the mode of goodness, let them peacefully execute their engagement. As for us, we are simply attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is by nature so pleasing, who possesses a complexion like a blackish cloud, who is dressed in yellow garments, and who has beautiful lotus-like eyes. We wish only to meditate upon him." Unquote. Those who are from the very beginning of their self-realization attached to devotional service are called Seva Nishta. Seva Nishta means simply attached to devotional service. The best examples of such devotees are Lord Shiva, King Indra, King Baholashva, King Ikshvaku, Shruta Dev, and Pundarika. One devotee says, quote, "My dear Lord, your transcendental qualities attract even the liberated souls and carry them to the assembly of devotees where your glories are constantly chanted. Even great sages, who are accustomed to living in solitary places, are also attracted by the songs of your glory. And, observing all your transcendental qualities, I have also become attracted and have decided to dedicate my life to your loving service." Unquote. Constant Associates. In the city of Dwarka, the following devotees are known as Krishna's close associates: Uddhava, Daruka, Satyaki, Shrutadev, Shatrujit, Nanda, Upananda, and Bhadra. All of these personalities remain with the Lord as his secretaries, but still they are sometimes engaged in his personal service. Among the Kuru dynasty, Bhishma, Maharaj Pariksit, and Vidura are also known as close associates of Lord Krishna. It is said, quote, "All the associates of Lord Krishna have lustrous bodily features, and their eyes are just like lotus flowers. They have sufficient power to defeat the strength of the demigods, and the specific feature of their persons is that they are always decorated with valuable ornaments." Unquote. When Krishna was in the capital, Indraprastha, someone addressed him thus, quote, "My dear Lord, your personal associates, headed by Uddhava, are always awaiting your order by standing at the entrance gate of Dwarka. They are mostly looking on with tears in their eyes, and in the enthusiasm of their service, they are not afraid even of the devastating fire generated by Lord Shiva. They are souls simply surrendered unto your lotus feet." Unquote. Out of the many close associates of Lord Krishna, Uddhava is considered the best. The following is a description of him. Quote, "His body is blackish like the color of the Yamuna River, and it is similarly as cool. He is always decorated with flower garlands first used by Lord Krishna, and he is dressed with yellow silk clothing. His two arms are just like the bolts of a door. His eyes are just like lotus flowers, and he is the most important devotee among all the associates. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto Uddhava's lotus feet." Unquote. Uddhava has described the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna as follows. Quote, "Lord Sri Krishna, who is our master and worshipable deity, the controller of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and the controller of the whole universe as well, accepts the controlling orders of Ugrasena, his grandfather. He is the proprietor of millions of universes, but still he begged a little land from the ocean. And although he is just like an ocean of wisdom, he sometimes consults me. He is so great and magnanimous, yet he is engaged in his different activities just like an ordinary person." Unquote. Followers of the Lord. Those who are constantly engaged in the personal service of the Lord are called anugas, or followers. Examples of such followers are Suchandra, Mandana, Stamba, and Sutamba. They are all inhabitants of the city of Dwarka, and they are dressed and ornamented like the other associates. The specific services entrusted to the anugas are varied. Mandana always bears the umbrella over the head of Lord Krishna. Suchandra is engaged in fanning with the white chamara bunch of hair. And Sutamba is engaged in supplying betel nuts. All of them are great devotees, and they are always busy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As there are anugas in Dwarka, so there are many Anugas in Vrindavan also. The names of the Anugas in Vrindavan are as follows: Raktaka, Patrika, Patri, Marukanta, Maruvrata, Rasala, Suvilasa, Premakanda, Marandaka, Ananda, Chandrahasa, Payoda, Bakula, Rasada, and Sharada. Descriptions of the bodily features of the Anugas in Vrindavan are given in the following statement. Quote, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the constant associates of the son of Maharaj Nanda. They always stay in Vrindavan, and their bodies are decorated with garlands of pearls and with bangles and bracelets of gold. Their colors are like black bees and the golden moon, and they are dressed just to suit their particular special bodily features. Their specific duties can be understood from a statement by Mother Yashoda, who said, quote, Bakula, please cleanse the yellowish dress of Krishna. Varika, you just flavor the bathing water with aguru scent. And Rasala, you just prepare the betel nuts. You can all see that Krishna is approaching. There is dust overhead, and the cows can be seen very distinctly." Unquote. Among all the Anugas, Raktaka is considered to be the chief. The description of his bodily features is as follows. Quote, "He wears yellow clothing, and his bodily color is just like newly grown grass. He is very expert in singing and is always engaged in the service of the son of Maharaj Nanda. Let us all become the followers of Raktaka in offering transcendental loving service to Krishna." Unquote. An example of the attachment felt by Raktaka toward Lord Krishna can be understood from his statement to Rasada. Quote, "Just hear me. Please place me so that I may always be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, who has now become famous as the lifter of the Govardhan Hill." Unquote. The devotees of Krishna engaged in his personal service are always very cautious, because they know that becoming personal servitors of Lord Krishna is not an ordinary thing. A person who offers respect even to the ants engaged in the service of the Lord becomes eternally happy. So what is there to say of one who offers Krishna direct service? Raktaka once said within himself, quote, "Not only is Krishna my worshipable and servable Lord, but also the girlfriends of Krishna, the gopis, are equally worshipable and servable by me. And not only the gopis, but anyone who is engaged in the service of the Lord is also worshipable and servable by me. I know that I must be very careful not to become overly proud that I am one of the servitors and devotees of the Lord." Unquote. From this statement, one can understand that the pure devotees, those who are actually engaged in the service of the Lord, are always very cautious and are never overly proud of their service. This mentality of the direct servitor of Krishna is called Durya. According to expert analytical studies of the direct associates of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami has divided these into three classes, namely Durya, Dhira, and Vira. Raktaka is classified among the Durya, or those who are always attached to serving the most beloved gopis. One Dhira associate of Krishna is the son of Satyabhama's nurse. Satyabhama is one of the queens of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And when she was married to Krishna, the son of her nurse was allowed to go with her because they had lived together from childhood as brother and sister. So this gentleman, the son of Satyabhama's nurse, used to live with Krishna as his brother-in-law. And sometimes, as brother-in-law, he used to play jokes with Krishna. He once addressed Krishna in this way, quote, My dear Krishna, I never tried to gain the favor of the goddess of fortune who is married to you, but still I am so fortunate that I am considered one of the members of your house, the brother of Satyabhama." Unquote. A Veera associate once expressed his pride, declaring, quote, "Lord Baladev may be a great enemy of Pralambasura, but I have nothing to worry about from him. And as far as Pradyumna is concerned, I have nothing to take from him, because he is simply a boy. Therefore, I do not expect anything from anyone else. I simply expect the favorable glance of Krishna upon me, and so I am not even afraid of Satyabhama, who is so dear to Krishna." Unquote. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 20th chapter, verse 28, King Prithu addresses the Lord, saying, quote, "My dear Lord, it may happen that the goddess of fortune becomes dissatisfied with my work, or I may even have some misunderstanding with her, but I will not mind this, because I have full confidence in you. You are always causelessly merciful to your servants, and you consider even their menial service to be very much advanced. So I have confidence that you will accept my humble service, although it is not worthy of being recognized. My dear Lord, you are self-sufficient. You can do anything you like without the help of anyone else. So even if the goddess of fortune is not satisfied with me, I know that you will always accept my service anyway." Unquote. Devotees attached to the transcendental loving service of the Lord may be described either as surrendered souls, as souls advanced in devotional knowledge, or as souls completely engaged in transcendental loving service. Such devotees are called, respectively, neophyte, perfect, and eternally perfect. And now, Chapter 37, Impetuses for Krishna's Service.
Tribhuvane Manam Saranyakana Nana Shastri Charani Kanikana Sadharma Sangasthapaka.
The causeless mercy of Krishna, the dust of his lotus feet, his prasad and association with his devotees are some impetuses toward a devotee's engagement in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Krishna exhibited his causeless mercy when he was present at the departure of Grandfather Bhishma. During the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev, the grandfather of Arjuna, was lying on a bed of arrows before departing from this mortal world. When Lord Krishna, Maharaj Yudhisthira, and the other Pandavas approached Bhishma Dev, he was very grateful to Lord Krishna, and he addressed the Brahmin military commander Kripacharya thus. Quote, "My dear Kripacharya, just see the wonderful causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. I am most unfortunate. I have no qualification. I was opposing Krishna's most intimate friend, Arjuna. I even tried to kill him. I have so many disqualifications, and yet the Lord is still so kind that he has come to see me at the last point of my life. He is worshipable by all great sages, but still he is so merciful that he has come to see an abominable person like me." Unquote. Sometimes the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute, his bugling, his smiling, his footmarks on the ground, the transcendental fragrance of his body, and the appearance of a new cloud in the sky also become impetuses for ecstatic love of him. In the Vidagdha Madhava, there is the following statement, quote, "When Krishna was playing on his flute, Baladev very anxiously declared, quote, 'Just see how, after hearing the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute, Indra, the king of heaven, is crying in his heavenly kingdom.' And from his teardrops falling on the ground, Vrindavan appears to have become a celestial residence for the demigods." Unquote. Ecstatic love for Krishna, which is known as Anubhava, is symptomized by the following signs. One becomes engaged exclusively in the service of the Lord, being attentive to carry out the orders of the Lord faithfully. One becomes undisturbed and non-envious in full transcendental loving service to the Lord. And one makes friendship with the devotees of the Lord who are situated in faithful service to Him. All these symptoms are called Anubhava, ecstatic love. The first symptom of Anubhava, or engagement in a particular type of service, is exemplified by Daruka, a servant of Krishna who used to fan Krishna with a chamra, a bunch of hair. When he was engaged in such service, he was filled with ecstatic love, and the symptoms of ecstatic love became manifest in his body. But Daruka was so serious about his service that he checked all of these manifestations of ecstatic love and considered them hindrances to his engagement. He did not care very much for these manifestations, although they automatically developed. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 86th chapter, verse 38, there is a statement of how Shrutadev, a Brahmin from the country called Mithila in northern India, became so overpowered with joy as soon as he saw Krishna that immediately after bowing to the Lord's lotus feet, he stood up and began to dance, raising his two arms above his head. One of the devotees of Lord Krishna once addressed him in this manner, quote, "My dear Lord, although you are not a professional dancer, by your dancing you have so astonished us that we can understand that you are personally the master of all dancing. Certainly you must have learned this dancing art directly from the goddess of love." Unquote. When a devotee dances in ecstatic love, there are manifestations of symptoms which are called sattvika. Sattvika means that they are from the transcendental platform. They are not symptoms of material emotion. They come from the soul proper. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 85th chapter, verse 38, Shukdev Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit that after surrendering everything unto the lotus feet of Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj immediately caught hold of the lotus feet of the Lord and pressed them to his heart. Being overwhelmed with joy, he manifested all the symptoms of ecstatic love with tears in his eyes and a faltering voice.